The second lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Listen to God's word. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." God, we thank you for your word. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the words we heard read this morning from your holy book. And now as we listen to these words which come from my lips, I most humbly pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching, that they remain no longer simply my words, but instead are transformed into your living word to each and every person who hears them, that he or she might be met in exactly his or her place of need. We pray this, Lord, in great anticipation and in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Every generation has its word for amazing, for something that is spectacular, that is beyond, that is new and fresh. In the 20s, it was the bee's knees. In the 40s, things were cool. In the 60s, as I'm sure you've heard, even if you weren't around then, everything was groovy. In the 80s, things might be wicked or fly. And in the 2000s, they were sweet. Now, today, if something is amazing, it is lit. So, I think it is lit that you are here this morning. Now, most people may not think that being a Christian and sitting in worship at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday is lit, but I tell you, it is. What we do here is amazing, right? I mean, in reality, if all you wanted to do was listen to really good music, you could get a subscription to the Kimmel Center. In reality, if all you wanted to do was make a difference in your community, you could volunteer at a not-for-profit, at a food pantry. In reality, if all you wanted to do was hang out with your friends, you could have a barbecue and invite them over. But what we do here in worship and praise, with music, with song, with scripture, with fellowship, with sharing what we have with those in need, is lit. It is beyond amazing. And the reason why is because what we have here is leadership and laity igniting transformation together. What we do here is transform lives. That is the business of the church. It's not just about hanging out with our friends, and it's not just about supporting things that help our communities, and it's not just about being in a place where there is beautiful liturgy. It is about transformation. Transformation for us, and transformation out into our community. The problem is we're a lot more comfortable staying in here doing that transformative work than we are going out there doing that transformative work. It's really hard to tell people our faith stories. We are so afraid of being rejected. We are so afraid people are going to think we're nuts or Bible thumpers or something that we don't even know what it is. We don't even articulate it, but we sure don't want to go out and share what God in Jesus Christ has done for us. And guess what's the good news? It has always been this way. You can tell that in this scripture lesson this morning. You can tell it by what happens when Jesus sends 70 or 72, depending on the version you read, of his disciples out. Now, as we know, his inner circle was 12, right? So these 70 that he is sending out are people that are the you and the me, that are not directly related to Jesus and yet are still followers, are deeply committed. And Jesus says, you know what? I choose you. I choose you to go out ahead of me where I'm going to follow and bring the good news. I send you in my name. And this word send, he says it over and over and over again, right? And most every time in this lesson, the word send comes from the verb apostoloi. Apostoloi is what we get apostles from, to be sent out. Disciples is to sit at the feet of, to learn from. And apostles are those who are sent out, apostoloi, disciploi and apostoloi. But in that one phrase, that phrase that we've all heard, that we can all relate to so much, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That send out is different. And I think that's because we can all relate to that part, can't we? Anybody on the CDFC, the Congregational Development and Fellowship Team, knows that the laborers are few. Knows that it feels like they get stuck all the time. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know of one person that doesn't enjoy having a little bite to eat and a little something to drink and a time to fellowship afterwards. And it's the same few people all the time who are doing that work. And they could use your help, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few, and they are begging God to send them some more, to send some out into that vast harvest. You know, up at Mount Airy, they've gotten to the point where they only have coffee hour once a month. They only have coffee hour once a month because that's all the laborers they can get to do it. And do you know what is the highest attendance Sunday every month? The one where people can fellowship. So this is a little sort of aside in sermon to go sign up and help those folks out here. But even more than that, being sent out into the vast harvest, even more than that, it's more than us. We have a tendency to think, oh golly, you know what we need to do? We need to grab more people who are already sitting in the pews to get them to sing in the choir because we need more people in the choir, to get them to help teach Sunday school because we need more people to help Sunday school, to get them to help with coffee hour because we need more people. You name it, we need more people. But that's looking at it all the wrong way. This is not about getting a warm body in the room. This is about being sent out to tell people about the transformative work that God in Jesus Christ does in us and in our community. And that is too exciting to miss out on. We don't want to tell people what we're doing in here. Why not? We are transforming lives, teaching about the love, the justice, the forgiveness, the mercy, the presence of God in Jesus Christ. So, back to this one little phrase, the harvest is plentiful. The word here actually means vast, vast. There are tons of people who want to be here. But the laborers are few, therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This send out is not apostoloi. This send out is ekbalo. An ekbalo, you can kind of hear it, ek, right? That's to be out or from. And balo, like parable, parabalo. Remember we talked about that once a while ago. The balo is to throw. Like to throw a ball. So a parable is to throw a story alongside the story. So the story tells you what's really going on. To ekbalo is to throw out, to cast out. As a matter of fact, most often when this word is used, it is used because we are violently tossing something out. We are casting out demons. We are throwing out something that needs to go out there. And God wants to cast us out into the harvest that violently. And I think the reason that word is used is because we don't want to go. We want to sit here. We want to hear pretty music and say words and listen to words. And then we want to go chat with each other around a little nosh and go home feeling full for the week, but not sharing that with anybody else because that is scary. And I think that's why God has to cast us out violently. Like, guys, don't you get it? It's not just what you do in here. It's what you do, say, are out there. That is where you're supposed to be doing the work that we do in here. Because if we do that, we can transform lives. Not just ours, but those out in the world as well. And sometimes, you know what? It's not even got to be that far outside the doors of this sanctuary. We have got all kinds of people coming inside these walls all week long that are not a part of our community of faith, that we are called to welcome and to share our faith with. And that's hard and that's scary because sometimes we don't like them very much. I'm not sure I want them sitting in my church because I'm real happy with the people in here. Even the ones that kind of annoy me sometimes, I'm used to them. I can deal with the way they annoy me. I don't want new people to annoy me. I have enough of that in my life. But that's not what God tells us. God tells us we are to invite everyone, anyone, all people. Even, maybe especially, the ones we don't want. Last week, we held Fifth at Five, the second time, the second one that we've ever held. So we're holding, on the fifth Sunday of the month, at 5 p.m., a worship service that is new, that is different, that is unlike anything that we ordinarily do. It does different style of music and more interactive, sort of family-friendly, creative type things. We hold it over here because we're sure that there are not going to be that many people that are going to come to it. We use, God forbid, a screen and play on, God forbid, guitars and have some video and do some things that are a little bit unusual and different. The first time, we thought maybe we'd have 25 to 45 people. We had 60. So this time, we weren't really sure how many we would have. We figured, you know, there would be some people who came, who saw, who'd been there, done that, and who wouldn't come back. And so we figured maybe about the same that we planned on last time, maybe 25 to 45, maybe, I don't know. And then the Keystone State Boy Choir invited or hosted the Los Angeles Children's Choir and asked if we would like for them to sing at our worship service, either in the morning or in the afternoon. And And Tony and I talked it over. He said it would be fine if they wanted to sing here. I gave Steve either option, and he said, you know what, I think I'd rather have them sing with you at 5, because then they can be at Chestnut Hill, which also houses the girl choir, in the morning. So I said, that's fine, but they need to understand this is a much more casual service. It's a much more different style. And he said, that's cool, no problem. And so we went on and we scheduled that for them to sing during the offertory. It turned out there were 23 of them. So we thought, oh, well, cool, that means we're going to have at least 50 people. And we kind of revised the food that we were going to do and figured out what was up. But we also knew we would be losing a lot of people, families who are now on vacation, who are out of town. And so we figured that probably 70 at the outside would be what we would have. And that would be kind of really over the top amazing if it happened. We had 85 people in worship last Sunday. 85 people. So 23 of them were the choir. But that's 62 people. And let me tell you what, a whole bunch of them didn't belong to us. They weren't regular worshipers here. Maybe 40 or so were. But there were a whole bunch of people there, some who were hosting the kids in their homes, some who had come just specifically to hear the choir and the choir alone, and some who had actually come because they'd seen some of the flyers and the advertisement we had done out in the community. So we had a lot of new people who had never walked in our sanctuary here before. And at one point during the service, we shared the Lord's Supper. And on the table surrounding the Lord's Supper were stones. Stones that had various things written on them. Things like blessing or gratitude, like the ones we passed out during the discipleship Sunday. Things like patience or you rock. Several different sayings were on them, and I offered people the opportunity after taking the Lord's Supper to also take a stone, to take it with them, to carry it in their pocket, to put it next to their nightstand, to put it in a drawer at work, but just a stone that was something they wanted, were yearning for, were striving for, were working on at this time in their lives. And on the back of each stone, we had put the date, 6/30/19. And I said, I'm offering this stone to you so that you can take it with you. And perhaps you take the healing stone. Will you hang on to it however long it feels like you need it? And when you feel like you have gotten where you want with whatever stone that is, then you pass it on to somebody else. Write the date on it. Maybe it's a day from now, a week, a year, 10 years, who knows how long from now. But you pass that stone on and pass that healing or that celebration, or that gratitude, or whatever it is on, to the next person who might need it. Well, people came up for the Lord's Supper, and as we sort of began to dribble down to the last few, a woman walked up to me and said, I'm not a Christian, but I was really inspired by your message. May I take a stone? Well, obviously, I said, of course. And she did. And I don't know if we will ever see her again, but I praise God for her willingness not just to come in to worship space, but to step up and say, I think maybe there's something here that I need. Maybe there's something here that could help me on my faith journey. And that would not have happened had we not said yes to the LA Children's Choir / the Keystone State Boy Choir. We are called to leave these doors and to share the love of God and Jesus Christ with everyone we meet, to share our faith journey with everyone we meet. And when we do, when we are open, when we are welcoming, even to people that maybe we're kind of iffy about, we are the ones who are blessed in return. And if we're not welcomed in return, that's okay too. Jesus says he's going to send us out like lambs amongst wolves. We're sent out to be eaten alive. And it's okay if we are. It is okay if we are rejected. You know what Jesus tells us to do if we're rejected? To stomp the dust off our feet. Now that has become a metaphor, but it was a literal thing back then. You would wear your sandals, you would walk through a town, and you would get the dust of that town on your feet. And stamping it off was a way of letting go of whatever you had experienced there. So God, Jesus, is telling us, you know, if you get rejected, that's cool. Let it go. Move on, because there's somebody out there in that vast harvest who needs, who wants the message of love and forgiveness that we bring. The 70 return with joy. They can't believe how successful they've been. They cannot believe how well this mission has gone. They don't come back talking about the failures. They come back talking about the successes, because once you begin to take that risk, amazing things, lit things, begin to happen. So this is my charge to you. As we move out into the world this week, this month, this year, this however long we are on this planet, let us be leaders, let us be laity, igniting transformation, L-I-T. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. It is a flame. It ignites in powerful ways transformational activity in our lives. But it can only do that if we take the risk. If we step out and share what it is that we have in this place with people we meet, even if it's scary. Because as the quote that I left you with today says, being brave is to know something is scary, difficult, dangerous, and doing it anyway, because the possibility of winning the fight is worth the chance of losing it. We are fighting for the transformation of lives, for people to experience love, grace, forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And who doesn't need that? That is lit. Amen.